With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, our hymns this morning are 563, 825, 941, and 578. Pastor Alan Muir's sermons entitled Salt and Light, and is taken from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 20. Welcome, and my Lord bless our worship this morning. I invite you to sing with us as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 563.
Well, good morning. Great to see you all here. A special welcome to any guests or visitors we have with us, and welcome to everyone who is listening online or over the radios. We are so glad that you could join us here this morning as we worship our great God and receive his blessings as we get to hear his word. By way of announcement, as we begin, there is going to be a children's message after the creed and before the hymn of the day, and we are going to sing hymn 605, Father Welcomes, just verses 1 and 3. I will announce that again when we get there. Children's message after the creed. We begin with our opening hymn, number 563. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave
me of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord. How can a young man keep his way pure? With my whole heart, I seek you. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. With my lips, I declare all the just decrees of your mouth. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. With you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure, and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight, and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of the wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? It is not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you, and shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and I invite the children forward for a children's message as we sing hymn 605, verses 1 and 3. So glad you could join me up here. So, as you know, we have a lot of stories about Jesus, right? We see Jesus everywhere. He's going around the countrysides and he's doing all sorts of things. And I actually have a couple pictures that I have brought with me, or paintings, if you will. So, here we have Jesus. You see Jesus here. And if you notice, where do you see him? He's in a house, right? He's in a house, and he's healing a paralytic, a man on the bed who couldn't move. And Jesus, we see him just healing him, giving him grace. And again, here we see Jesus. And where do you see him this time? Do you see Jesus right there?
Yeah, he's outside.
Yeah, he's outside. He's on a rock. He's on a mountain. And there he is in front of great crowds of people, and he's teaching people what the kingdom of God is and what it involves and everything about the love of the Father. And then again, one more picture. Where's Jesus at?
Uh-huh.
He's walking on the water, exactly. He's next to Peter, who is drowning, and Jesus goes and he picks him up. He rescues him. And so we see all of these pictures about who Jesus is. We see him in all these different places. But if you remember in our epistle reading, there is Paul. He says, "I have made known nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." You know, Jesus can walk on water because he's God, and he has the strength and the power to he has strength over creation itself, because he made the world and everything in it. So Jesus, he can do anything he wants, and it pleased him to reveal his strength by walking on the water. But here we see Jesus again on the cross, right? He dies on the cross. And this is the central teaching to our Christian faith. Paul says this is the most important story that we can ever learn. And whenever he teaches the Bible, he is always bringing it back to Christ, because on that cross, Jesus dies for our sins and he gives us everlasting life that we may live with him forever. We have a heavenly father and a loving father because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Yeah, he died for us, so he brings us into heaven, or a resurrected life to come. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending us Jesus and bringing him to the cross, bringing him to this world to die for us and to make known your love for us. And we pray that we can continue in this faith and to look to you for all good things. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody. You can go back to your seat. And the congregation, we sing our next hymn. Well, peace be to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Over the past few months, we have heard several times of Scripture talking about light. You know, throughout the Bible, God is constantly using light as a metaphor. He contrasts light from darkness. Of course, the light referring to life, faith, and truth, while darkness, on the other hand, is death, unbelief, and a lack of love. Just a few weeks ago, we even heard a passage from Matthew saying, "A people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light." And again, a couple weeks ago, we saw John the Baptist saying, "I am not the light. I have come to bear witness to the light." And each time of these occurrences, the light clearly refers to Christ. Jesus is the light. Jesus brings the light. And in contrast, the world is perpetually said to be in a state of darkness. Jesus is the light, while the world is instead blinded by ignorance and hatred. The world without God is lost, and the blind are just left stumbling and crawling their way down the path to destruction. But when Jesus comes, the Bible tells us that a great light dawns. And in a most magnificent display, God reveals to us another path. When the light shines, those along the path of destruction, every step of the way, they see another exit. There remains another opportunity for them to depart from their crooked path. And at the same time, they can leave and walk upon the highway of God. For there exists a highway that is illuminated by the sun, and it leads straightway to life, salvation, and the eternal blessings of God. The world just needs light, for man cannot exist without the Lord revealing his truth. He sustains his creation and leads his people to live according to his gracious will. You know, in a very literal and a very physical sense, we all need light. We need it to drive. We need it to cook. We need it for our crops to grow and to be able to walk around with confidence. Light is the most beautiful thing in the world, and it does all of these great things. And so, dear friends, it is no small matter when in our gospel reading, Jesus calls you the light of the world. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, those who have faith, those who follow him and trust in him. And so by extension, then, that includes you today. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Certainly, though, not by nature, right? For by nature, we are inherently no different from the rest of the world. By nature, we were born into darkness, also stumbling along our way through life. There we were, hating good and clinging to evil, oblivious and ignorant of the truth of God. That's just naturally who we are as fallen, corrupt people. You know, you can turn on the news today and you will see all sorts of fighting, bickering, and hatred that fills people's hearts. Their minds are full of darkness, and in humility, you know, we have to confess that we are by nature no different from all of them. Now, thankfully, our hatred is just not broadcasted throughout our communities and our nation. But I imagine that if the news channel were rather just a giant mirror, none of us would even be able to tell the difference. For we too call people names, and we also attack people's characters. And yet somehow none of that stops Jesus from saying, you are the light of the world. Not by nature, but rather because you have been fundamentally changed by the power and work of God. You don't live in darkness. If you're a Christian, then at your core lives the God of love, light, and salvation. You become one who radiates the Father's light. And as a follower of Christ, you become a carrier of God's love, for his truth and grace is in you. You have been so perfectly united with him. And this was no accident. Light does not just come out of nowhere, but by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of love and truth has come upon you. For in baptism, you have become so united with Christ that the light of the world now lives within you. You know, through the water, God expels the darkness. He drowns the old Adam, and he washes away all of the shadows of death. Essentially, he empties you of all worldly things and places in you the Spirit of light. And you become a lamp, housing and shining the Spirit of God. You are the light of the world. You have the light living within you. Again, it's no small thing when Jesus calls you the light of the world, because in one sense, as just mentioned, there's so much wonder, there's so much beauty in this title, there's so much gospel truth and promises that are in this one statement. And yet at the same time, in this same passage, there seems to be so much responsibility. The light of Jesus and the light of the world is now in you. The light of the world is not found where Christians don't shine. Without the church living and behaving like Jesus, the world remains in darkness. As light bearers, if we shine God's light only dimly, then dim is the world's light. As Christians, if we don't shine the light of God, then thick will be the world's darkness. You are the light of the world. That is your calling. It's to shine your light everywhere you go. It's to be heavily involved in your families and your friends and with your neighbors. As Jesus says, people don't light a lamp and hide it under a basket. You don't light a lamp and stuff it under a rug or cover it with bed sheets. That's complete foolishness. Jesus says, let your light so shine indiscriminately through words and actions. Shine the light of Christ in all of directions, doing so just by loving people, speaking the truth, caring for people's needs. Why hide the light? Should man be deprived of light due to the idleness of God's people? Should we leave the world in darkness, or should we deny them the lamp of life? The light is needed for man to know Christ and to know the way of salvation. People become so dark and cheerless without God's light shining. A great preacher once said of this verse, that you are the light of the world, saying that this verse is a remedy for all hatred of man. For how could you not have pity for those who are lost? How can you not but feel sorry for those who are groping around in the darkness? Now, how could you not feel but as a mother does towards her infant child, the child unable to clothe and feed itself, fully reliant upon the love and care from others, a baby tugs on their mother's heartstrings, and how pitiful that child is, no greater in stature than a poor beggar, and yet no matter how tiresome the child becomes, she continues to grow in warm affection for her baby. And what a poor world in which we live, that all men are as pitiful as a child. What a poor world we live in, as people can't see the light unless it shines through us. What a poor world in which man will die unless the church and God shines the light and says to them to live. How can we frown on those who are most in need? For those who grieve us, for those who fight against us and quarrel and utter all kinds of evil against us, how can we not but look upon them with pity? No matter how tiresome the world becomes, or no matter how hard they beat you down, God wills that through us, salvation and light would shine upon them. And quite honestly, hearing the cries and seeing their fighting should just be a constant reminder for us all. Seeing our neighbors in darkness without hope should constantly remind us all the more of God's grace for us. For without God, we would likewise fall to such a pitiful state as they. Without God continuously loving and living in us and pouring his love, truth, and light within us, we would so quickly fall ourselves. And yet God, in his great love and in his pity towards man, sends Jesus to bring the light and grace into the world. He goes to the cross, making full well known the Father's love for us. For he who did not spare his own son for you, certainly he loves you with unimaginable affection. Through his death, he carries your sin. He forgives you your iniquities, and he brings you into a right relationship with himself. He gives you light of life and further remains with you wherever you go so that you would be a light bearer. With the light and with the forgiveness of sins, wherever you go, you are on a highway to everlasting life. And may we continue to shine and make known the Savior's love through the words of our mouth and through the works of our hands. May people come to the knowledge of this truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 941. this time we worship God with our offerings. Light, we praise and worship you for the great love you have shown towards us. We ask that this truth would so enter into our hearts and minds and lead us to live for your kingdom and for our neighbors. Lead us to shine brightly the light that is within us, that we may be the instruments through which you will save the lost. Lord, in your mercy. And God of grace, as we fail in our capacity to shine your light of love to all people, we ask that you would forgive us in our weaknesses and increase our faithfulness where we fall short. May you pour your spirit upon us that we may die to self and live to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, we thank you for the wonderful blessings you have brought into the Cook and the Owenberg family. We thank you for the newest daughters that you have brought into the world, including Madeline and Myra. We pray that you would continue to strengthen the mothers and their daughters as they recover back to full health. Keep the children safe and healthy throughout their lives and secure them in your loving arms all of their days until you call them home. Lord, in your mercy. And great physician, you know all that we need before we ask. You know all of our situations before they come to us. And you know what we can handle mentally, physically, and spiritually. We ask that you would so deal with us in mercy and provide us with our daily needs. For those suffering from a lack of strength or means, we pray that you would provide for them with your grace that is sufficient to meet all of their needs. Included this morning, we pray especially for Walter, who is having a stent replaced this coming Thursday morning. We pray that you keep him calm and lead the doctors to perform the surgery in wisdom and in love, and to serve their neighbors for the best of their ability. And we ask that you remind all of your children that you care dearly for them, and that you have all things under your control. As well, this morning we pray for all on our prayer list, including Pat, Luis, Carol, Romney, Melissa, Nancy, Cindy, Vicky, Neil, Connie, Margaret, Dorinda, John, Judy, Mike, Marjorie, Erica, and Debbie. Lord, we ask that you would surround these, your servants, with loving friends and family to support them during this difficult time. Lord, in your mercy. For those and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 578.